Many people have a desire to enter the world of investing, whether it be through real estate, stocks, or entrepreneurship. However, people often face self-doubt, a limited belief system, or simply a lack of knowledge to put behind their ambition. It's easier than you think to overcome these obstacles if you know exactly what's holding you back. Partner with Andre to forge new neurological pathways that unlock breakthrough strategies for income generation, reshape your belief systems, and construct your desired life. With over 15 years of experience in finance and a decade devoted to teaching wealth preservation, these achievements are no mere coincidence. One thing is clear, if others have done it, you can too. Start your complimentary action plan today at www.andrestewartauthor.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. If you've been searching for ways to break free from the 9-to-5 grind, scale or start your own business, generate passive income, or gain insights from others who have achieved their desired lifestyle, get ready. Prepare to be inspired as we provide you with invaluable tips, resources, and firsthand experiences from Andre and other industry experts who have accomplished remarkable things in their respective fields. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast, your roadmap to success. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Welcome to another episode of Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart, and I hope you guys are doing well. It's been a long time since I have been able to do a podcast for Investing Uncensored. Been kind of focusing on mindset Mondays and not really talking about the economy and things that I'm seeing going on in the world in general, but I'm slightly concerned. And so, you know, I felt the need to hop on here and at least share my thoughts on what I see going on and from my own experience. And it's 7 a.m, man. I just rolled out of bed and I just hopped up and did this podcast because I'm really concerned. But the things that are happening that I've seen, I'm just like, I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm very concerned. I was going to say slightly concerned. I'm very concerned because the way it looks, I think it has no choice but to end catastrophically. You know, it's going to unfold. You know, people are thinking that we're going to have this epic collapse like 2008 or 2020 with the stock market, or, you know, even back in the World War II. When the 1930, you know, in that era, when they had that collapse, the collapse is already here. And that's the part that I think people aren't seeing. They're thinking or they're looking for something that's similar to those, and it's going to be different. It can't be the same as those. It will probably get there, but it's going to be different. So right now, we're already in a collapse. We're in a cost of living collapse. Your standard of living has collapsed. And so I guess people are looking for assets to collapse. It's going in reverse. That's the part that I think people are missing. And they're just steady going out here and spending and doing the same things that they were doing before, but not realizing the effects that it's causing. And it's like a person who has a runny nose and then their throat starts to tickle. And then they might have a slight cough. You're obviously getting a cold or you're obviously getting sick. And then you just choose to continue on. You don't lay down. You don't take a rest. Maybe you should go to sleep for 5 or 6 hours, take a nap. You know what I mean? Or go to bed earlier that night to try to slow that sickness down from it getting worse. But no, as a person, you just try to keep it pushing, try to keep moving. But you should do the exact opposite of that, right? So to help your immune and your killer cells to strengthen, to get rid of the virus, but you don't. And then you go out, you go to the store, you go to work, you're running around in the house with your family. And then what happens? You get your family members sick because you're in the first 72 hours of when you start showing symptoms, you're very contagious, right? So especially the second day, you're very contagious, and that's why things go viral. That's why your whole household gets sick, and then the neighborhood is sick, then the entire city's sick because you should have laid down, but you didn't. At the first sign of you showing any symptoms of a sickness, that's when you're supposed to, it doesn't even have to be something as severe as what happened in 2020. It could just be the common cold, flu, or whatever it is, any kind of upper respiratory infection. When you start showing signs, You're supposed to lay it down and help your body immune system strengthen again, right? But we go on and then we pass it on, and now it's the contagion effect. The economy is the same way. People are seeing other people go out and do certain things, whether it be on social media, their friend, they hear about it. They have this contagion effect of trying to keep up with what other people are doing. When in fact, you should have laid it down. You should have stopped. You should have controlled your spending. But what happens? So, like I said, now the whole household is sick. Now this flu done passed through the entire city. And I'm not saying it came from one person, but it spread. It spreads like wildfire. And the next thing you know, you're talking to your friend and they're sick. And then that friend, they have a friend that's sick. And then it's just everybody is sick. The economy works the same way. The economy is sick. And people just don't get it. They're just moving on and going on throughout life thinking that it's fine. But you're out here causing the effects, causing everyone to get sick. So, for example, I'm going to give it Florida, for example. I was just there. And if you guys are watching the Mindset Monday series, you'll see what I'm talking about. I just did a whole series, me going through Florida, going to Georgia, flipping a house. So the story that I'm going to tell is from that. As I'm in Florida, someone reaches out to me about buying a house. So I go take a look at this house, and it's a 758 square foot house. And so she's really amped up about buying this house. She's a first time investor. She was looking at, you know, getting a loan from me to fund the house. She wanted me to JV with her. And I'm like, all right, let me see what's going on with this deal before I JV. So I go take a look at the house, 2-bedroom, 1-bath, 738 square feet. The house sold in 2020 for $157,000. In 2024, this same house is going for $299,000. And then in the description, it said, oh my God, this is a great potential, great investment property, blah, blah, blah. If you look at comps in the neighborhood, and the neighborhood is okay, but in the neighborhood, they're building like these new homes. And so they're doing teardowns of these houses and they're putting up new ones. So she's looking at this house, 758 square feet, 2-bedroom, 1-bath. And the comps show a 3-2 that's like, you know, 1,200, 1,300 plus square feet. They're going for like $433,000. So she's amped up about buying this house. So I go look at it and I'm like, there is no way in hell this house is worth $433,000. Even if you add the extra 200 square feet, or not even, you have to go up to like 300, maybe 400 square feet to try to make it work. So go back to what I said. So I went and looked at the house, horrible house. I hadn't even looked at the numbers yet. I hadn't even looked through to saw the transaction history. So then I go and I'm like, this is, there's no way this house is worth this much. So then I go back and then I just pull it up on a computer and I'm like, what the heck? The percentage of growth in Florida for properties is about 1-2% year over year. Here we have a house that went up 157% in 4 years. And now you think just because you add an extra 200 to 300 or maybe 400 square feet to make it a 3-2 is going to be worth $444,000 is what the description was saying. And then the comps in the neighborhood. What? Are you kidding me? So the house went up 400 to 450% in 4 years, and the average growth in the market is 1-2%? Come on, man. If you guys do not think that the economy is broken, then I don't know what to tell you. If you can give me a scenario where a house in a market that shows you, the data shows that it's 1-2% year over year, and then a house has gone up 400% in 4 years, please send me an email. Tell me how this ends well. Tell me how the economy is not broken. Tell me how we're not in the collapse. We're obviously in a collapse. We're in a cost of living collapse. Our dollar has collapsed. Our purchasing power has collapsed. But yet and still, people are going around and buying. And not to mention, like I told her, these home prices are being inflated by wholesalers. So if the value of this house is actually, and I did the math, the house is actually, even if you just do 4 years, it should probably be worth like If you did the addition and made it a 3-2, it might be worth 260 on a good day. That's, you know, and that's just me being like, let me just be a little extra and be like everyone else. It would only be worth $270,000, and that's a stretch. And, you know, these houses are going for $400,000. With interest rates being where they are, with people not getting a raise of 400%, tell me how this doesn't end horribly. It's going to be catastrophic. When? We don't know, because the government is propping the market up. But you gotta, if you just take this scenario that I just gave you, there's no way anyone, so you, people be like, oh, well, people are still spending. That doesn't mean they should be spending money. Just like it didn't mean you should have been going to the gym when you were showing signs of being sick. You shouldn't have went to the grocery store. You shouldn't have did what you were doing, but you did it, and now everyone's sick. That's the same thing playing out in the economy. People are seeing what other folks are doing, and they're like, okay, well, this person's doing it. Yeah, you don't know their situation. You don't know how over-leveraged that person is. That person has no idea what they're doing because they're probably not educated enough. And then a real estate agent is trying to eat. They're trying to make money. And if you can get a house that's sold for, you know, I don't know, $157,000, you know, 4 years ago. And in this case, the real estate agent who sold the house, he sold it to the first person when they bought it that, you know, 4 years ago. So if you're this person that's selling this house, I mean, the commission on a $400,000 house is going to be pretty good. They're not going to tell you the truth. If they're like, okay, well, this person wanted to spend the money and they came to me to buy a house, I'm going to find them a house. But in my case, that's not what I do. I'm not trying to put someone in this situation. Because I know what's about to happen with the economy. So I went back to her and I gave her the same information that I gave you. And I'm like, even if, I said, you're going to have to drop this house from 200, I think the rehab was going to be like, I asked my guy, he was like, for the addition, it'll be $35,000. Then for the rehab, probably another $40,000. So I'm like, you're going to have to make this person drop the house another $50,000. I said, make him, if they drop it to $250,000, then maybe it could work if you plan on living in it and it's not an investment property. So I was like, if you plan on living in it for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, then it doesn't really matter, right? But it kind of, to me, it does, because you're overpaying for a house. So what's going to happen is people that are buying these houses right now, they're going to be upside down. They're going to be over leveraged. They're already over leveraged. They just don't realize it yet. You're buying a house that's not worth what you're paying for it. So whenever this does turn around, because it has no choice but to, whenever this does take place, we will probably see that drop or that collapse that everyone's looking for, right? But by that time, it is going to be so catastrophic because of what I just explained. So, man, this is why I'm just so stressed out over this. Not even stressed out, but it's very concerning because, like I just said, like the cost of living has skyrocketed already and people are not getting raises. Everyone knows this. This is not a secret that we are in a cost of living crisis, right? So deterioration of our quality of life is where the collapse is right now. And that's the part I think people are missing. And they're just going on it. They're exasperating the situation because the longer or the more we continue, or the people that are continuing to go out and buy houses that they can't afford, or they continue to travel, or they continue to do what they're doing, that's just giving a sign to the government that they can just keep continuously doing what they're doing with interest rates. But they can't do anything opposite, because if they do, then we're going to have an inflation crisis. So you can't have a cost of living crisis and an inflation issue at the same time, and then assets that are overvalued. That's what we have going on right now. And so that's where they're teetering this line of trying to keep interest rates high. Because if they do anything and they drop it, then we're probably going to have more inflation and we can't do that. So what do? We're in this cyclical cycle that can only go on for so long. We can't do this. We can't do this. It's impossible, actually. So this is what my major concern is that I don't think that people are paying attention to, and they're just going out and they're making the situation worse. I'm not saying everybody is, but the people, and I got to give this example of this girl, if she were to go and buy that house, she would be one of those people that's making it worse. And so like I was explaining to another person, the wholesalers that are out here finding these properties that are people that are in distress or finding them, and they're adding like $20,000 or $30,000 on, and then a person has to turn around and they have to do the rehab on it, and they, maybe the rehab is, you know, the cost of supplies have gone up. Rehab, like I was telling this person real fast, I was telling this person on the house that I'm doing in Georgia, 3 or 4 years ago, a rehab would cost me no more than $35,000. That was like a full gut, you know, tearing everything out, putting all, you know, new things in. That same type of rehab on a similar style house is now costing $60,000. Nothing changed. The cost of everything is either gone up or the value of our dollar has decreased. So both of those at the same time. So if a person taxed on a $30,000 or $40,000 wholesale fee, and now you had a $60,000 rehab, you just added $100,000 to this house. And it's not really worth that. There's $100,000 in just random ass cost that just went into a house. But people are paying it because the bank is like, yeah, we can do that. We'll give it to you. We'll give you a 40-year mortgage now. So yeah, don't worry about it. We can just extend this payment out for the rest of your life. You are 60, but we're going to sell this house. You know, you're going to die and you're going to pass it on to your kids. So now people are out here buying homes at like 40 and 45 on a 40-year mortgage, and they're going to be gone. So what? Come on, man. It's really pissing me off.
Ever wished you had the opportunity to buy a stock like Facebook, Amazon, or Netflix before it went public, or was able to get shares in companies like VC firms and angel investors? Well, here's your chance. Go to investfar.com/invest and reserve a position. For the next 1 to 3 months, InvestFAR is allowed a limited number of low-cost shares be available for friends, family, and its community per SEC regulations before it goes public. Imagine being able to 1,000x or 10,000x your investment, like the top 5%. With exclusive opportunities such as this, positions are limited and the window of time is short. Don't miss your chance. That's INV, as in Victor, ESTFAR.com/invest.
I was watching this thing, and if you guys heard my podcast from back in 2020, when I initially started doing podcasts, I was just looking at what was going on, and I was telling people, like, and you can go listen to some, I don't know exactly what podcast I brought up on, but I was like, the world is more so turning into China. Like, people are looking at China as an example because China has their population on lock. Like, you can't go on TikTok. You can't go on Instagram. You can't go on social media, period. Like, you just can't. So they have concentration camps for people that get out of line. You know what I mean? We got this whole free speech movement, and our social media in the U.S. is out of control and it's ruining the minds of a lot of people, right? And so there's this thing called a herd mentality in social media. It exasperates that as well. So if you can get this thing, you guys should look it up. It's called The Great Awakening. It was a documentary that was released in June of 2023. And I was watching it. And it's talked about what I just said about the global economic forum believing that China is the epitome of what a country should be run like. In 2020, I saw this because of what was going on with people getting canceled because of what they said or what was going on with social media at the time. Because if you look at what happened before 2020, kind of things were fine, but people weren't getting censored. Now they're just out here choosing to shut people up who's saying things against what they believe. It doesn't matter what party it is. They're silencing folks, or they're you know, kicking them off of YouTube, or they're banning their channel, or, you know, creating the algorithm to stop based on certain words that people are saying, showing that person's views, or getting them more views, or getting people to see their content. So I'm like, back then I saw what was going on. This was in 2020. And I'm just like, the U.S. is going to more than likely end up going into the phase of like what China's doing with their people. Just because, I just wish people just kind of paid more attention to what was going on. Like, if you watch this documentary, it talks about, and if you notice, there's like a loneliness epidemic in the U.S. People are lonelier. now than they have ever been before. And they could be living at home with their family members. They could have kids. They can be in relationships. But there's this narrative going around that people are lonely. That's something that was created. I seen an article a year and a half ago, and it popped up on my phone on the Apple News. And it was like the loneliness epidemic. What? When? What? How are you lonely? And you got a house full of people, you in a relationship, whatever the case is, like you can't be lonely. You could be missing purpose in life. You could be missing something else. But being lonely when there's a house full of people, it's impossible, right? You might not just have what you're looking for, but you're not lonely. Lonely is like, you can look up the definition of lonely. You can call it whatever you want. But it's impossible to be lonely when you're surrounded by a bunch of people, or if you have a family, if you have kids. You're missing something else. And it ain't like you don't have people in your life that you can work with or deal with or you know, have whatever kind of exchange you need as a person, human connection, right? It ain't there. But what they're doing is pushing this narrative of loneliness. Because when you push a narrative of loneliness, that's how you can attack a person's mind, which is what they're doing. And that's why people have anxiety and depression. They're pushing this narrative on people through whatever their channel they're using to in the media, in the narrative. So then if you give a person who's lonely a sense of purpose or something to rally behind, that person no longer feels lonely, right? Because now they're like, all right, I'm gonna fight for this. This is my reason for existing. I'm no longer lonely because now I have this to focus on instead of sitting around here thinking about this person not being here, this person not spending time with me. Yes, I am never lonely because I got too much shit to do, right? I don't have time to sit around and not think about something. And that's what it is. People, if you lack purpose, you don't have nothing to look forward to. You don't have a reason to wake up. You don't have a reason to go on. If you just work in the 9 to 5 and you coming home and you don't have anything outside of that, after 5:30 or 6 o'clock, I can see how you might, I guess, be lonely. But if you have people in the house, if you have a hobby, if you have something to do as far as like a routine, then you might not be like, if you have like, all right, after work, I'm gonna go to the gym, or I'm gonna try to start this business, or I'm gonna set this goal to accomplish this, or I'm gonna write this book, or I'm gonna create this business. You almost have zero time to think about being lonely. And the time that you are by yourself, you are happy to be by yourself because you are so tired from doing so many things. You don't have the ability to even think about being lonely. You don't have the time to be, I'm depressed or I have anxiety. So if you don't have a purpose in life, if you don't have something that you're striving for, if you don't have goals, then yeah. So majority of the population fits into that category, right? It could be a minor goal that you're not even striving for, that you don't even have a set plan for. Like how many people have a 5-year plan? How many people actually set a New Year's resolution or a goal and actually stick to it? Ask some of your friends that set a goal in January if they're still doing it. What are they doing? So if you have a plan in life for whatever goal is that you have, then you really don't have time to be lonely. So what happens is people that are higher up, they understand this. They understand neuro-linguistic programming, right? And so that's why we have so many narratives. That's why you can watch one news station and turn to another one, go on the BBC or go on your phone and look up an article, their narrative is going to be the same. And I'm going to say this to you again. Like I was reading an article that popped up on my phone and it was talking, I read a lot. And so this article popped up about OJ. And when I was a kid, I remember that I think I was in the 7th grade and I knew this whole story about OJ. So then it just made me want to read about it because I think he passed away. And so it was talking about him and what happened when he got out of jail. And then as it gets down to like the bottom paragraph, when the article was about to end, it says, yep, Trump was released from jail in Las Vegas and he went 5 miles down the road to his house. What? What? How in the world did we go from a whole article talking about OJ and then we get down to the last paragraph and it talks about Trump getting out of jail and going to a house that he had situated 7 miles away in Vegas? That's when I was just like, I just put my phone down. And I was telling my cousin, every blue moon when I go online to check something from my company on social media, I don't have social media on my phone. I don't have Instagram. I don't have any of that on my phone. I got LinkedIn. So every now and then I'll go online and I'll check if we're posting something on my Instagram or wherever. And so then I might get caught up for like 10 or 15 minutes, 20 minutes, just scrolling like most people do on a 10-minute basis, like all day long. But for me, after like 10 or 20 minutes, I'm going to run into something like that that's going to piss me off because it makes zero sense. And then I'm going to be done for the next however until I get back on the internet again or social media again to check something. It's just so frustrating for me to read. And this is on MSNBC. And I'm just like, first of all, how did this get past the editor to even make it into the app for people to read? Yeah, they're doing it on purpose, right? So you read this whole entire article. It was a bad article, dogging OJ out. And then you throw Trump in there at the end, which had nothing to do with the entire article. It's stuff like that. That's like, how are people not catching on that they're being manipulated? I'm not that stupid. That pissed me off and I'm done. I'm done. I threw my phone down and went throughout my day, went to the gym and worked out. And I was just so frustrated by the fact that even they even tried to slide that in there for someone to try to, you know, program someone's brain. Now you what? Now you thinking about Trump. Now you thinking about Trump getting out of jail. Now you thinking about, okay, well, I can't do this or I can't do this or Trump is this. And it had nothing to do with him. The article had nothing to do with him. But now that trigger that they placed in that article for that person who read it to now start thinking about Trump. That's how crazy that they're out here doing in manipulation and changing the narrative or controlling the narrative. It's that crazy. But I don't think people realize that. So that's what I'm like. People need to wake up. You're going to wake up and you're going to have a horrible life. And if you watch this YouTube video that I'm telling about, it's on YouTube, The Great Awakening, you will see they're pushing the narrative of a lower quality of life. They're pushing the narrative of the tiny house. Who the fuck wants to live in a 200 square foot house that probably costs $300,000? Yeah, but they're pushing the narrative on making it seem like it's cool or the minimalist lifestyle. You don't gotta do this. You don't gotta do this. Yo, I shouldn't have to do it. You don't have to do it. And that's why I always tell people, think about going somewhere else. Think about going and doing something in another country. You can stay here. You can go ahead and just keep the wool over your eyes and accept the tiny house fate and move your family into this 300, 400 square foot house like it's cool. You could do that. Or you can figure out how to get out of the situation and go somewhere else that makes more sense for you, right? It doesn't make sense to just sit here and take what someone's doing. And again, if the government wants to do it and people want to accept it, then that's all. Go ahead, man. People do what you do. Like I'm a huge proponent of people doing what they want to do with their life, because everyone does. Everyone, if you look at all your friends and your family members, they're all choosing to do what makes sense for them. They can care less if it's for the kid, for the parent, doesn't matter, right? Everyone at the end of the day is going to do what makes sense for them. So you do the same thing. If you're cool with the tiny house, or if you're cool with the situation where your cost of living or your life is deteriorating, because with the cost of living increasing, and your quality of life declining, that means your health is going to also do the same thing. And then if people know anything about healthcare is horrendous. It's the worst in America than in almost any place in the world. Eventually, at some point in time, probably 10 years from now, the GDP is going to be all healthcare. The entire GDP is going to be spent on healthcare. So, oh man, this is why I just rolled out of bed and felt the need to do this podcast, because this shit is going to be so catastrophic. I'm not going to be here to see that. I'm not. I'm. You know me. I've been getting my entire situation set up in other countries. Like, so I'm moving. Like, when people retire, to me, I wouldn't be thinking about retiring in the U.S. Like, I'm going to obviously do my thing and come back and forth here and there, but I don't plan on being here and, you know, when it's time for my retirement. So, you know, I'm not going to wait until I'm 52 and a half or 59 and a half. And they increase the age of when people can retire now. It used to be 59 and a half. Now I think it's like 62 and a half or 63. So you can't even retire now. You see what I mean? This shit is just unfolding in people's face and they're just going on like, ain't nothing wrong. Go ahead, man. Y'all do what y'all do. But if you listening to my podcast, I've been giving you all the warning signs of this happening. It's just not happening the way that people think it's gonna happen. But why would it? So just like you see AI and everything changing, things change.
Like, evolution is here. How do you think we got here? How long has the Earth been here? How long has this planet been here? Come on, man. Like, if you just look at history, follow history, then you can kind of know where we're going to end up. But people are just going through our life. They're on autopilot. That's what it is. Everybody is on autopilot. So you can get told and you can be fed anything. And so until you step outside of that box and start thinking for yourself and realize that your life is diminishing right before your eyes, man, then you're subject to whatever and whoever tries to manipulate you. And that's kind of where we're at. But guys, I just want to get out here and show you guys that the collapse is here. It's over. It's happened. It's just, when will it break is the question. When will this catastrophic event like 2020 or 08 or 1930, when will that happen? If you're sitting around waiting on that, that's stupid, right? Get your life situated. Figure out how to cut costs and save money so that maybe if you are going to choose to stay here and deal with this, you might be in a better situation to be able to go out there and buy some of those things. You know what I mean? So like, you know, follow what's going on. I've been talking about a World War III for a long time, you know, and people say, oh, a broken clock is right twice a day, whatever they say. Look at what's going on. What's going on in Iran and Iraq, right? People are talking about that whole thing with them shooting missiles, but that's been going on forever. I talked about that 2 years ago on a podcast where they got the Iron Dome. They had the Iron Dome for a reason. That ain't nothing new. They always been going at war. Why do you think the Iron Dome wasn't just built yesterday? They always have these random attacks that go on like that. But what's going on now? They're putting that in the narrative so people can think about that. That ain't nothing new. So that's there for people to think about. Then you still got what's going on in Ukraine. Then you still got what's going on in Gaza. All of these different things are now going on to distract people from what's really going on in their own country, and it is a collapse. The U.S. is done. It's done, but it's just a matter of time before that hits, and then people, we have our own situation. But what will happen? It'll never be displayed on the news like all this stuff that's going on in Ukraine. You'll never see it. You may see some stuff that goes on in the housing market if it is a bad enough collapse like 08, but it won't be. So if you know, if you follow real estate, the prices are declining. I'm looking at homes in Florida that are declining by $40,000, $25,000. Home prices are declining by 25 or 30% in certain markets. It's not on the news because it's not going to be on the news. Why would it? Why would it be? So it's happening, but if you look back at what happened in 2008, that collapse happened. It hit the news because banks were about to collapse. And then the housing market just got so crazy because of the foreclosures. But the declines in home prices is faster than it was in 08. So 08, by the time 2012, it took 4 years for us to finally hit the bottom and homes be back to some very low valuations. And we're in a similar situation. So you're looking for this overnight crash in the housing market. It's not going to happen. It'll be over a 4 year period. But in this time frame, people are still going out and buying houses. And you know, people are like, oh, bro, I saw your video on YouTube. You're still buying houses too. So yeah, I'm still buying houses. This is the last thing I'm going to say, and I'm out of here. My house that I bought in South Carolina, it was a $185,000 house. It's worth technically right now $425,000, or even if you just go based on the market over there where people are buying, it's going for $310,000, $325,000. So I got it for $185,000. I didn't pay retail value. Retail value for it was like probably $210,000 or $250,000. And then I had to put rehab into it. Then I would have been right at retail, but I didn't get it at retail. I got it at $185,000. And if I choose to sell it at $299, even if it's worth $415,000, the real value, but even if it's selling for, based on comps, $310,000 or $320,000, I'm still winning. So if I choose to sell it at $299,000, I'm still winning. I'm still coming out to the good. So you can still buy homes, but how are you buying them? Be strategic about it, right? Don't go out there and buy a house that's on the MLS. Don't do it. It doesn't even make sense. The other house that I bought I did a whole video on, that series, that I turned into an Airbnb, you guys should check it out. It's a good little, I think it's a 4-part series. I got that house for $175,000. It's worth $475,000. And it's in the Masters. Like, you can literally walk across, if you guys know what the Masters is, it's the largest golf tournament in the world that just ended about a week and a half ago. No, it ended on Sunday. It's right there. It's in that neighborhood. So once a year, I can rent this house out for next year. I should be able to get $25,000 for it, right? This year, I think I only got five because I just finished it 2 days before. So it's a good house. So 1 year could take care of my whole mortgage for the entire year. But if I want to sell that house, I got it for $175,000. The rehab is done. I could sell it for $299,000 and I'm still to the good. I'm still winning. But that's a house that I will keep forever. I mean, it's getting booked out. Now that the Masters is over, people are booking up all the time on Airbnb. So it's a cash flowing house. The other house, I thought about doing the same thing, but I'm going to sell it because I don't want to deal with that, right? And someone is going to pay for it, right? Hey, they're going to buy it. Cool. But then in the other house that I just mentioned, the Airbnb, it also has a full-blown apartment in the bottom that I'm going to rent out. So it still makes sense to buy homes. It depends on how you're buying it. I have never bought a house retail. I will never buy a house retail. Even if it's a house that I'm going to live in, I'm not going to buy it retail, right? I'm trying to buy a house for my family to go for Thanksgiving and things like that in Florida. And I'm not paying an astronomical amount for a house. If I can get something that pops up on foreclosure, then I'm going to do that. But I'm not going to pay retail for a house. I'll just not get a house. And me and my cousin are talking the other day, and, you know, they got this narrative of, like, again, the two kids, the dog, the white picket fence, the house, the two cars, and the good job. Yeah, but, like, her friends are coming to her saying, when are you guys going to get a house? Why don't you guys have a house? Why? Why are they pushing her to buy a house? Like, she has a place to stay. She's good, right? If she don't want to get a house, why try to force her to get a house? Why try to brainwash somebody else into this narrative that they got to get a house and get into debts? If you don't get a house now, you're going to miss the boat. No, you're not. Because if you look at history, it goes in cycles like this. It would be in her best interest not to buy a house. And if it's two people living in an apartment and they don't have any kind of, you know, expenses, like if the ceiling fan break or the HVAC break or if something breaks, they're just going to call the guy downstairs and go fix it. People are not looking at the cost to maintain a home. That's what I don't think people are seeing. They're like, oh, well, the home ownership is the key to financial freedom. No, it ain't. If you buying it and you living in it, because if something breaks, you got to fix it. Maybe if you bought a brand new house and you were going to live there for 15 or 20 years, that can make sense. But if you're just going out there buying a house thinking it's the gateway to financial freedom, it's the exact opposite, because you got to factor in a 20 to 25% operational cost, even for you as a family living in the house. So if you overpaid for a house, you put down a 20% down payment. What if something breaks? You don't even have the money to get that fixed. So it's just stupid, man. This narrative stuff is just, oh God. Stop being brainwashed. Like, don't follow the narrative. Do what works for you. And so buy a house when it makes sense. And if my cousin can go out and get a house that she can rent out or invest in and get it off market that's not retail, then maybe that's a good decision for her to go out there and get it that way. But for her to go and pay for a house that went up 400% in 4 years, that would be asinine. That would be dumb. So she was like, why? She's like, she's not stupid. She's really good at stocks. She's just really savvy. So she was just saying the same thing I'm saying, like, I'm not that dumb. And so she was telling me about those people that have all went out and bought houses down there struggling. All the people that bought a house in the last 3 years, not all, majority of them have buyer's remorse, right? So anyway, guys, I'm done with my rant. I'm just, you know, like I said, I rolled out of bed and I just felt the need to just brain dump. Because again, like, everything that I said is coming to pass. Like, it's not coming to pass like people are probably thinking it, but it's here. It's here. The collapse is here. And then us moving more so in the lines of China, that's also already here. People are already getting censored. People are already getting blocked from social media platforms, or people are getting, you know, delisted from certain things. So it's already here. It's just a matter of time, right? So maybe, you know, 20 years from now, when I'm sitting somewhere, probably Colombia or some other foreign country, I'm going to look over here and be like, damn, what I said came to pass. It didn't come to pass overnight like people want in this instant gratification society, but it happened. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to look and I'm going to be like, I said what I said. I told people about it. I wrote a book about it. I talked about it all. So I did my job and my place in society, like I always say, my purpose, by giving you information like I'm doing right now. But anyway, guys, until next time, please check out the series that I did on YouTube, where I show you where I came from, how I grew up in a 3,100 population town to living in LA and traveling and going all over the world and spending, you know, a lot of time internationally. You can go and see where I came from and you'll see where I talk about. And I show you guys both the houses that I bought, the price I bought them at,
the rehab, the home's getting done. It's pretty cool. Anyway, guys, until next time, subscribe, share it with your friends, and open your eyes.